Hey, everybody, you're listening to NC Shop Talk, brought to you by NC Carpet Binding. I'm your host, Mal Mayer. If you want to learn from some of the most innovative people in the industry and laugh a ton, then this show is for you. So let's get started. Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of NC Shop Talk. I am really pumped for today's guest. Before I get to him, let me jump into an update. This is a new product launch for us I'm beyond excited for. And I think it's going to be not a revolutionary one, but I think it's going to be a monster success. And at least I'm hoping that's the case. And if you're an automotive trimmer, someone that does upholstery, this could be for you. And I hope it is. And that really is what our ambition was with this project. Last year, we took on a distributorship with Premax Italy, who's an Italian scissor manufacturer. And my goal ultimately was to make and create a scissor that could compete and hold its own with the Kai scissor. And I think we have success. I don't want to call it a grand slam, but if it's not a grand slam, it's close. The scissor that we have come up with is going to be priced incredibly affordable, much less than the Kai. We've been field testing it with Chris from Bucks Customs for almost 8 months now, and Chris loves it. Says it's lighter, the cutting comparison is very close, and it's cutting as good as new, you know, 7 months in. He hasn't noticed a decline. So that I'm thrilled for. We've sent one out to the Hog Ring as well as Cato, you know, Phil Cato, and they're both really digging the shear as well. So I'm gonna order a boat ton of them, and we're gonna make them available to the industry. And I really think this is gonna be, I think it'll immediately take over as our number one selling upholstery supply. I think maybe even more than threads. I think we're gonna sell them to everyone from General Motors on down the line to mom and pop upholstery shops. So selfishly, that is my intro to, update wise for this podcast. And now we're going to get to the fun. This podcast for me is a special one on various levels. I'm really looking forward to sharing some stories that we have together. And although he's very shy, I'm hoping he's going to give a truthful insight on some things. I don't want to give it away yet. So, and really at the end of the day, I just like the guy. Always did. From the minute I met him, you know, about five, six years ago. And his style, his interior style is right up my alley as far as progressive. I'm kind of boring. Everybody knows that, but progressive styling, contemporary, you know, he's right up there as one of my favorites, you know, if not my favorite. As a person, from what I can tell, he's honest, transparent. I've never heard a negative word spoken about him. And he's one of the best in the business, interior men-wise, as a builder. He's just incredible. And if you want to talk about humble, he's never one to brag or shine a light on all his achievements. And I've already started doing that, but I'm gonna do more. His accolades range from various magazine covers to Good Guys Best Interior Awards, and even to being voted into the State of Washington Automotive Hall of Fame. I hope I didn't butcher that, but I think that's what happened years back. If you ask him what he's won, he probably won't tell you anything. So there you have it. Most recently, he and his team took home the 2023 NC Auto Interior of the Year Award contest, and it wasn't close. NC Shop Talk welcomes in Tony Miller, founder and owner of Stitches Custom Upholstery in Poolsbo, Washington. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Of course, you're welcome. I know this is going to be like pulling teeth with answers, so you got to let go. Whatever it takes. Tony's very shy. And last night, I don't want to upset Tony, but he's texting me. What are you going to ask me? I don't have much to say. I'm nervous. So I'm dying laughing on text and just telling him, just be yourself. Everything's going to be fine. It's just a podcast face to face. And we've talked plenty of times, but on here, We got to get the shy guy to break out a little bit. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you?
Probably 11, 12.
Come on. What did you do when you had to hit on a girl or something back in the day?
Sweat a lot and just go up and ask her. Talk to her.
That probably was like a 15 if this is an 11 or a 12. So truthfully, yeah. I mean, do I make you nervous?
I just don't like answering questions and I don't like talking about myself.
For you, but you're doing it. That's it. So let's break the ice with a funny story and I'll drive on this one for you. Let's tell them the old man story. You good with that?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So I kept it from Tony for at least 3 years or somewhere around there. Anyway, we're at SEMA 2018 and Tony comes in the booth. I never seen him before. You know, obviously social media, whatever, you don't get to see what everybody looks like. And I'm looking at him as he's talking. And this is admitting it to you for the first time. I had no freaking clue what you were saying. I'm just looking at you and thinking, this can't be him. This can't be him. This isn't him. Who is this guy? The whole time in my brain, that's all that's happening. And, you know, in my mind, he's got to be, there's no way this guy's 60. There's no way this guy is 60 years old. He doesn't look a day older than 35. So I'm thinking he's somebody completely else. Notwithstanding, you know, what must have been the creepiest stare down ever for me, Tony buys a leather skiver. I know I'm confused. As I get home, I start hunting down who I thought was him. And to no luck, I couldn't find him. So to this very day, it took me a while. Probably around 3 years later, I told him the story and started calling him old man. And I don't think I've spoken to him since or texted him since without saying, what's up, old man? So, yeah, when I told you that, Tony, did you think I was weird? Did you pick up on me looking at you creepily at the show? Or did I hide it?
No, a lot of people actually think, when they talk to me, they think I'm a lot older. I don't know why. It's kind of odd, but I don't know. Even Eric and Jay here, they both thought I was a lot older when I was texting them and calling them to get the job. So,
yeah. Well, we never spoke on the phone for me to know if you had an older sounding voice, but it was a guy on Facebook or I think Instagram. I think it was Facebook. And his face to me was you. So anyway, fast forward. It took a couple years later, I think last year, actually, if I remember correctly. And he comes across my Facebook feed. I see the face that I had seen, this older man with all gray and white hair with a red shirt on. And I said, holy cow, that is old man Tony right there. Sorry, Tony. It's Tony Dunn, who I know, and I think he's a customer, and I've gotten to know him over the years. Good dude. But I had them totally confused. So, yeah, I called and texted Tony immediately, this Tony, and broke the news, sent him a screenshot of who I thought he looked like, and yeah, that was it.
I got another 20 or 30 years before I look like that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Like I said, I hope it wasn't too creepy. But I mean, you didn't pick up on me staring at you weird at all while we were there?
Well, no. I mean, we never met. Maybe that's just how you looked at people. I don't know.
There was a group of guys there, if I remember, when you first came in the booth, and everyone was talking. And you initially had said, you're interested in Skyver, tell me about it. And I don't know what the hell I said or did. But somebody out of that group must have thought I was a creeper because I was just literally staring at you, you know, bordering on maybe homosexual tendencies. I don't know, but it was just, I couldn't, it didn't add up. But anyway, let's go back to some background stuff here. I know it's boring and I don't want to put you through hell, but tell us about growing up, when and how you got into cars, when you knew this is what you want to do. Give everybody a little background on that.
I did not know that I wanted to do upholstery. A buddy of mine I was working with at detailing cars, he was going to go to Wyotech. And I don't want to detail cars forever, so I figured, well, I'll go to Wyotech too. And everybody kind of, you know, knew how to do engine work and you know, metal fab and stuff like that, but nobody knew how to do upholstery, so I figured I'd take the upholstery class and I took that and I loved it and got a good job after I graduated. And yeah, that's how I got into it.
Okay. I mean, Wyotech, a lot of our guests have been to Wyotech. You know, mm-hmm. we just had a recent, or one of our most recent guests, Mikey, you know, was on here. Paper to payment movement, Mikey, he's, you know, killing it, almost just won a, you know, one of the most prestigious, I guess, car builds you could win with Hot Wheels. And then, of course, Cato, now you. And before that, I think Steve Kurzman went to Wyotech. So,
yeah, I went to Wyotech.
I'm sure some of our other guests went to Wyotech. So, a lot of guys got their start there.
Yeah, I went back when it was, you know, there was day class and night class when I went. I think they just have day class now. But, yeah, we were taking night classes and, you know, from, I don't know, 5 at night until 2 in the morning. And,
that's brutal.
It was a lot of fun.
I just skip night classes in college, literally. If I took a night class, I never went. I would try it, but there was just too much to do at night, and I would just skip it all. I didn't have discipline. Okay, let's jump into the 2021. So you got to rewind the clock a little bit. 2021 Auto Interior Contest. This contest had just massive competition. We had Custom Creations out of Canada. Derek and those boys put forth a big time interior. Jesse and Aaron from Innerworks by Aaron, and of course the winner, RMD Garage, and of course again you guys, Tony, you and your team, as you know, and I'm not even sure if you do know completely, I think I told you, but you guys finished runner up to RMD, and that was brutal, but it was painful because leading up to that you were the winner, and RMD the last week being able to place entries, place the last minute entry because they just completed it. And they squeaked out a victory against you guys. This is a little painful, but I want to really get in your head about it. Leading up to when we named the winner, I'm sure you guys were nervous, but once the winner was named RMD, you know, go through your feelings on that. What was it more of?
I mean, we're, you know, kind of bummed, but I mean, the RMD truck is, you know, the interior is beautiful. So you lose to somebody who's, you know, you think their interior is better than, I mean, you know, not much you can do, you know, but no, we were bummed, but there's always, you know, next year. So,
right.
That was,
and there, and therein lies Tony being humble and why I love Tony. Forget the humbleness. I wish he would brag a little bit more, but he came back. And as soon as he did that, it showed who he was as a business owner, confident in himself, not being afraid to come in again after losing, second place with that kind of level of competition is incredible. But coming back and just not caring, he could have walked away, never entered again. No one would have said a word. No one would have raised a flag or anything. But you just put yourself out there and came into this past year's contest. And, you know, tell us why you entered. Was it a, you know, screw you, we're taking this thing kind of attitude? Was it, good old fun? You know, be truthful. Like, what was behind this year's entry?
I don't know. You know, as part, I look at every competition as, you know, being fun. But also, you know, you do want to win. You know, you had told me before that, you know, some people that came in second, they didn't enter the next year. And to me, that doesn't, you know, if you want to win, you're going to keep trying until you win. I mean, we didn't win. So, you know, of course we're going to enter again. I don't care if I, you know, if we came in last or second or, you know, we're going to try again. And we had, Tavis drop the interior for that Chevelle, and I thought, you know, we went into that build thinking this is the car we're going to enter into the contest, so we kind of, you know, from day one had that in our minds and just did the best we could.
That's the attitude everyone should have, and you don't have to enter a contest. It's like, but just never stopping, never laying down, never surrender, that whole mindset is something I think everybody should strive for. If I entered a contest and lost, I want to go again and try, even if I know I got no chance. So, but the fact that you guys did it with your, you know, background and pedigree and having award-winning builds, you know, just shows a lot about your integrity class. And, you know, I was proud as hell of you. And truth be told, I don't know how everybody else felt, but the minute that you entered that interior, and it wasn't late in the contest, it was early, so you were hiding nothing. The minute you entered, I go, nobody else has a shot. And I said it to Chris at Bucks. He agreed. Cato, he agreed. Just about anybody I talked to agreed. And no one else has a chance. And I'm, you know, I like more, I guess, more traditional, you know, interiors. But this thing blew me away, and I wish the car was mine. Screw the car. It's one of the rare occasions where the interior blows away the rest of the car, and it did. It 100% did. Everyone felt the same way. And I'm not sure if I told you this, but during the voting, it was the first near unanimous. Should have been unanimous, but it's the first near unanimous winner we've had. 9 out of 10 votes, you got it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That never happened. I think the most that ever happened before that was 6, I want to say.
Nice.
So,
well, that's good to know.
You know, we're real happy to crown you guys. And even though we all know you, nobody made it easy on you, because you had to, you know, overcome that 2021. And I know you would have been back in 2022 if it wasn't for the Young Guns Challenge. So to see you guys jump right in on this one was great. You know, I was like, gosh, I like this guy even more. So that's really, really good stuff. Anyway, you guys have a 3-man team there, which I asked Tony. I said, Tony, you know, what are the duties? What are the roles that you know, everybody plays there? And he goes, really none. Everyone will kind of do the same thing here. So you kind of have a seamless staff. You don't just have one fab guy or one guy that, you know, wraps, one guy that sews, vice versa. You're kind of all, in a way, you've trained your staff to be interchangeable.
Yeah. Jay, I mean, he can do it all. He loves to do fabrication. So that's kind of what he wants to do. So I just kind of, I let him do fabrication. You know, I love doing all of it. I mean, when I started getting employees, it was very hard for me to let them do certain projects because I wanted to do them.
Yeah.
But, you know, over the years, it's, you know, I, you know, relaxed and let them trust them and let them do their thing. I mean, Eric, I mean, he can do it all too. We're, you know, still teaching him, dialing in his kind of detail skills there and fabrication skills. But he's coming along great. But yeah, I mean, we can, you know, all of us can do everything, but there's certain things that, you know, we like to do more than others.
Of course.
So, yeah. You know, and if one of these, you know, I'll ask them too, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? You know, if one of them's not feeling it and doesn't want to do it, then, I mean, they don't, you know, they don't have to do it.
No, it's good. It, you know, one guy's out, one guy goes on vacation, somebody's sick, somebody's not feeling an interior or just isn't used to that style, then somebody else steps right in. This way, everyone could rather almost, you know, just be able to cover each other in the event that, you know, you have to, and you, it's a seamless transition, which is great. Who's better, Tony? You still the king of the castle over there?
I think so, yeah.
Just say yes. It's fine. You're one of the best in the nation. Just say it's okay. All right. So the other thing I wanted to ask, and we've touched on this, and we had a pretty much a 3-podcast series on when to hire, how to hire. How did you know that it was time for you to kind of let go of the reins a little bit in order to grow your business? How did you know it? And, you know, just read us in on that a little bit.
I just, you know, I was working on one car, and then just, the phone started ringing and got some more jobs lined up. And I just, you know, the shop could take, the shop I was in at the time could take, you know, 3 or 4 cars. So I just, you know, I think Jay contacted me. We were just talking about this too today. Yeah, I can't do it all. So it was just...
But ultimately, you had to let go in order to take on more work and grow your business.
Yeah, yep.
Was it painful having more mouths to feed right away, or was it... What was the most painful about it?
Oh, you know, the stress of somebody else relying on you to bring the work in and I never went to school to learn any of that stuff. So it was a big learning experience to, instead of, I'll build this guy this week or next week. Now it's, hey, I got to build these guys, every week, every 2 weeks. I got to make sure I got money coming in to pay, cover payroll. So, yeah, it's stressful.
Even now with the other three guys, the other two guys with you, and this is not to be intrusive, we cut this out of the podcast, but I want to hammer home this point to people that in order to grow financially, you got to take some chances and you got to spend some money. In this case, specifically spending money on two employees versus doing it by yourself. Are you making more now as a result of hiring two guys? Are you taking home less?
I'd say taking in more. You got to have the right group of guys. I mean, they got to make the product. They got to produce. They got to have billable hours. That's the big thing. In some projects, you don't make anything, and some projects you do make money. That's just how it goes sometimes. So yeah,
all right.
But definitely. Now we're bringing in more money. Obviously, there's more money coming out, but
so I think a big fear a lot of guys have is how am I going to justify bringing in a helper and taking such a big chunk of my take home, out of my pocket and give it to somebody else? Well, there's a lot of different ways to attack. I don't want to spend the whole podcast on that, but if you have the wherewithal to bring in more business and you can expand and do bigger and better, no millionaire, billionaire, or otherwise grew without some growing pains and hiring other people to help them. No one could do it on their own. Just can't. Yeah. You cannot turn high volume by yourself.
Yeah. I try to run the shop with the keep it small and keep it all mentality. We used to have a big shop. I think at one time we had like 8 cars in there and you just not making any money. And now I'm in a, 2-car shop. We can get 3 cars in here. If you're going to spend the money to grow your shop, you got to do it wisely. You can't, a bigger shop isn't necessarily how are you going to make more money.
Right.
I think
you have to scale things according to, what the plan is and, what business, the volume of business you can bring in and how much control you can keep. If you can't keep control, then you're going to, you got to punt. You can't, on certain things, just are too big is too much. It depends on the personality too. Yeah. I have friends that can, have 10, 12 rentals. I have friends that have, business associates I talk to that have 20, 30 properties that they maintain, and they have that ability. I'm lucky I can maintain a business and a home. I'm just not the guy that's going to have renters and this and that, and it's not me. So it depends on your personality too. Anyway, let's just have some fun here, and I'm going to put you on the NC Shop Talk rapid fire hot seat. I'm sure you've heard it before. Just going to fire some things away at you. Just quick, short answers, which should be perfect for you. Although you've been very insightful. I'm proud of you. So let's have some fun with this. And then maybe we'll get to talking to the guys. Okay. Favorite snack?
Oh, Cheez-Its.
Okay. You're like my daughter. I'm going to stick with Doritos and Oreos. The two most possible things.
I eat like a little kid.
Favorite restaurant near your home? Give a local restaurant a plug.
Oh, geez. The Grub Hut.
What's it called?
The Grub Hut.
Okay, what kind of food?
Cheeseburgers. I love cheeseburgers.
Okay. Favorite car movie?
Oh, man. Favorite car movie.
Or show.
Back to the Future count? I'd say Back to the Future.
Okay. You love that car?
Yeah, it was pretty
good. DeLorean guy?
Yeah.
I could never get into it. I don't know what it was. I guess it's too Spartan for me. Inside Out, Under the Hood.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I loved the General Lee growing up and Dukes of Hazzard and the A-Team van. So those were my two favorites. Mm. Hollywood crush growing up.
Ooh, Jenny McCarthy.
Ooh, good call. Okay. Best band of all time. Or give me a couple if it's too hard to pick one. Whatever's easier.
I mean, growing up, it would have to be Weezer, Nirvana. Yeah, probably one of those.
All right, Weezer and Nirvana. How about Pearl Jam in there or no? No.
No.
All right, so Weezer and Nirvana, we're going to take those two. We're in a Burning House is a game I played on here before and I've been playing since I was a teenager. Burning House is you get a choice. You can go in and rescue one band. The other one perishes. You never get to hear the music ever again. Who are you picking?
Nirvana.
Okay. That a boy. Okay. Dream car to own. Realistic that you can drive every day.
Probably my 65 Impala.
Okay.
I own it, but it's sitting over there in the yard underneath a tarp.
Okay.
I've owned it for 20 years and it's
you haven't got it going at all?
There's been some work done to it.
Okay.
And then, I actually drove that car to Wyotech and did the upholstery. That was my first car I did upholstery.
Okay.
So, yep.
Okay, now pie in the sky car that more than likely will never, ever happen. Like, for me, it's a Lambo.
Oh, I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. I've never thought about that.
Okay, we'll go back to it. Favorite sports team?
That would have to be probably the Mariners, Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, I know you're a baseball guy. The kids are into baseball, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And the last question, in all seriousness, this is a toughie. Are you a distinguished member of the Mile High Club?
Unfortunately, not.
No, me neither.
not yet.
All right. Congratulations. You're officially off the rapid fire hot seat. So initially, I wanted to talk to both team members, but you told me Jeremiah Martis is not there today.
Correct.
All right. So now we just have to talk to Eric. So it's a big downgrade, but, you know, get Eric on the phone. We got to switch the headset real quick. Eric, what's happening, buddy?
How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good, good, good. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm really just, I don't know, something about Tony. He's just a special guy. He really is. When I talk to him, and you'll hear the podcast later, I shared the story, just staring at him, wondering who he was because I couldn't put two and two together to buy a machine from us. And just, you know, over the years chatting, he's just a humble, good, good, good guy. And, you know, really shined through on this podcast as well. If you could tell us about Tony a little bit and what he means to you.
Well, you know, Tony and Jay here, you know, they're definitely like my best friends. You know, I see them every day. I learn a lot from them. Every day I learn something new from Tony. And even besides upholstery, you know, it's really, really motivating working here. You know, before, he probably doesn't want me to say this, but before work, you know, he'll go do a couple miles, run 10 miles and stuff. And, you know, it's really motivating seeing that. It makes me want to get out there and, you know, do some stuff like that. But yeah, I love it here. I love it here.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. From what I hear, and you've told me, and, you know, we chat about it on Instagram, and Tony's told me you guys are big fans of the show. I know Jeremiah's not there. I'm sure you have your favorite. So far, what's been your favorite couple of podcasts that you've heard?
Oh, I really like Shannon. I really like the way he speaks, the twang in his voice. Yeah. that's pretty funny. I mean, I like Cato's, Voss, all of them. There's, you know, even some trimmers that I didn't know about before the podcast, like Sid Shavers. I didn't know about him, and then, you know, just opened my eyes to
Sid's a must.
A badass trimmer. Yeah, he's really
Sid's on that Mount Rushmore, right? So that was a big one for me too. I really enjoyed speaking with him, and he's a really good man as well.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What about Jeremiah? I know he's not there, but can you speak on his behalf? Did he have a favorite podcast or?
We've listened to them here at work, and I think he would say that he enjoyed. Actually, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, that's
on his behalf.
I just want to get him involved a little bit.
He liked the one where with the golf cart king. He does the seat for the golf
with Junior.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was a really good. That was a really good episode. Really, I got emotional during that one. Yeah, Junior's a good dude. Actually, I think they just ordered like their 16th long arm. Talk about a place blowing up. 16 long arms.
No, it's crazy. I have them on Instagram, and yeah, it's cool seeing all the machines that they have, all the CNC machines for stitching and stuff. So,
yeah, they got CNC machines everywhere. They're amazing. Okay, so if you could tell me what is your favorite thing to do at the shop, would it be sewing? Would it be fab work? You know, what's your favorite thing?
I actually haven't done a lot of sewing, I guess, compared to other shops I've been at. I've been just fabricating. When I first started here, I didn't really know much about fabricating. And, you know, Tony and Jay just showed me the ins and outs of it and, you know, every day trying to get better. But I do enjoy sewing a lot. So the couple chances I get to sew, it's really fun. You know, even sewing piping on carpet or whatever it may be, it's a
Well, you got to find out what the hell Tony wants and start selling more and make sure you do what he tells you. That's all.
I know, right? Yeah, there was actually a bench seat that we had to do, and he let me do a little bit of sewing on that one. So yeah, nice. It was really cool.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
So anyway, how old are you now, Eric?
I turned 27 on April 1st.
Okay. And how old's Tony? I didn't even ask him.
How old's Tony? He doesn't have a birthday. Tony has this thing about not celebrating his birthday. Oh. But
it's always something with the artsy fartsy guys. Something's going to pop up. That's okay.
It's funny, though, because he left his ID one time on his sewing machine, and I saw it, and I wrote down his birthday.
Don't rat.
No, Eric. I will not say, but I got it on my phone, so every year he'll get something.
He'll kill you. He'll absolutely kill you. But obviously, Tony, you know, is a younger generation, but you're part of the youngest generation, you know, being in your 20s. So you are a select few at this point, because there's not a lot of young guys doing it. You guys are going to be, you know, spearheading, you know, the industry in years to come. So keep on learning, keep working hard. And, you know, that's the best advice I can give you is, you know, just keep learning and doing and doing and learning and failing and being told what you're doing wrong and how to get better. You know, that's the best advice I can give you, especially being with someone like Tony. I mean, Tony is elite, you know, he's up there. He's up there with one of the best guys around.
No, well, thank you. And thank you for doing this podcast. You know, I really enjoy them as a young trimmer. And like I said, you know, I find out about other trimmers that I didn't know about, you know, or even tricks when you ask them about tips or tricks about, you know, how they do stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You really learn a lot. So, you know, thank you, you know, they're really
cool. No, that's nothing, dude. I enjoy the heck out of it. And it's really been, I don't know, maybe it's the best thing I've gotten into in the industry, because, you know, vendor sharing and all that has just been wonderful ideas. It's spearheaded different relationships and different, you know, ventures. And it's just, it's been great. You know, I really like it. It's a pain in the neck. In the beginning, it was brutal. The first handful of months, but I got used to it, got in the flow, and, you know, it does take time, but just getting to know guys better and working with guys, and, you know, been a couple of podcasts I wish I never did, but other than those, you know, couple, it's been a home run. So I'm thrilled with it. And I'm pretty transparent, which, you know, and I pretty much can't help myself, but I'd love to tell everyone the couple of, you know, that have pissed me off.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm sure they know.
They do. Yeah.
Anyhow, what else? Let me have Tony back. And yes, thanks for coming on with us, buddy. You were great. And thanks for the insights.
Thank you, man.
And you keep that, you can hold him hostage with that. It's called blackmail.
Oh, I know. I got it in my back pocket for when I need it.
I did not know he had to hang up on his birthday. So calling him old man really must have pissed him off in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. He'll tell me stories of just stuff that happens. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I was born that year. And he'd be like, oh, don't tell me that.
That's awesome. All right, buddy.
All right, Mal.
Thanks again, Eric.
I'm not that old.
You know, we know you're not that old, but if, you know, you're not comfortable in your own skin, you don't have to tell us. That's fair.
Eric makes us feel pretty old sometimes.
I know. I hate my birthday myself. So I've had some really bad things happen on my birthday, and that's what started it. But I just don't like it. I never did. I don't like getting older either. I always say to my friends, and my wife gets pissed, but I say I hate myself more and more every day, because just physically, just my body never held up. I wish it, you know, from all the sports injuries I played through and all that stuff, concussions, neck compressions. I need like 4 different surgeries. So I just battle through it. The hell with it. So many more people go through so much worse. But I just wish I could be like, you know, 16 again, or even 20 again, and, you know, 25 again, and just, you know, just run out and, you know, play some pickup basketball. But, I would die. Absolutely die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I stick to running. You can run nice and slow if you want to, or do, you know, go your own pace. And
the minute I send myself past basic physical activity, my body just rejects it all. So I'm doing more and more the last year or so. I'd say since like last June, I've really been doing more and more. But it's when I push too much, the backlash is just brutal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So anyway, this was awesome. I really, really am grateful you came on. I know it wasn't your first choice, but thanks for coming on with me. And
yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, man, be proud of who you guys are. You guys are great. You have a great little team over there. And, you know, obviously you turned out some of the best work in the world. So
thank you.
Keep on doing it. So, and P.S., good luck trying to beat that last interior, because I'll be watching him. I don't even know if it's possible.
Well, Tavis does all the hard work and comes up with those cool designs, and then
you're one of the rare guys that will outshine and overbuild, so to speak, the rendering. Like Tavis Highlander did your rendering, and you know Tavis is, you know, one of the best, if not the best, and you know you guys took his rendering and just ran with it, and then some. That's how good it was.
Yeah, well, got a good group of guys here, so.
I would love to maybe one year take all the contest winners from the auto interior contest and pit them against each other and see what everybody would vote for.
Yeah.
I'd be
down for that. It would have to be any interior they've done over their career that they'd have to pick one. And
I mean, there's so many different ways you can go, but guys like you, I could, you know, rely on for those kind of ideas, but always had the idea of pitting the winners against each other and just see what would happen. See like what the industry would vote for. I don't even know. I don't know what I would vote for. It would be impossible.
Anything that DJ does, you know, Danny, anything that they do, I think they would win. So,
I mean, it's funny. I haven't voted for all the winners. So, like Danny's, I didn't vote for. I think off the top of my head, there's one other that I didn't vote for. It's been, I think, two of them I didn't vote for.
I mean, they're
I think it'll come down to style too, right? I mean, if you like a certain style, like, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
How could you find a flaw in your interior, in Brett Parker's interior, who, you know, the winners, Rick Esterly? You just, it's going to go, a lot of times it's going to come down to style and what you like. And even sometimes it'll come down to nitpicking. You know what? I don't like that color. And I really can't decide between him and Tony's. I'm going to go with Tony's just because it's, you know, you're splitting hairs at that point. But I think that would be interesting. I do.
Yeah. Yes, it would. That would be interesting. But yeah, like I said, I think Danny, they'd take the win.
Well, you got one vote. He's got one vote already, and I'm sure he'll get plenty more. So the other thing was this year with the contest, you won a Skyver, which you already bought from me 5 years ago. So that was pointless. So what Tony did is he upgraded to a long arm. Selfishly, I'm going to take a few bucks extra, but we got that 30-inch long arm delivered to you, and I'm just honored that you have two machines, you know, in your shop. So we appreciate
three machines.
That.
Three machines. We have that the double needle post bed.
Yeah, well, one of these days.
No, we bought that. When did we buy that? Last year. The last year?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You have three then.
Yeah. Yep.
Holy cow! I forgot about the post bed. Damn it! Can't believe I didn't think about that. Good. So three machines in the shop. Even better. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. This was fun. I almost don't want it to end. Are you feeling more comfortable now, or are you?
I am. Yes, I am.
See,
it takes me a little bit to warm up. You know,
I told you. Maybe you'd be okay.
Maybe I should go have like a, you know, a drink of whiskey or something before. But I got little league practice here in a little bit. So.
That a boy. Get in there, and I'm gonna go be a good dad here, cook some dinner, and get a little fatter. All right, buddy. Thanks again, Tony. Okay. Good stuff, man. Appreciate you.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening in today, everybody. If you learned something new and liked what you heard, make sure to subscribe for more NC Shop Talk. Do me a favor and help us grow this sucker. Share this show on your social media feeds and with anyone else who'd love to hear it. Thanks for giving us a listen. And until next time, remember to get out there and make it happen.